What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Monday and welcome to the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at DialedHealth.com.
And I'm Amber Simon, project manager of DialedHealth.com. And this week, Derek is sitting down with our two 2022 Dialed Health Shred winners, Wesley Sturgill, who's 33 and from Wise, Virginia. He lost 15.8 pounds and lost 4.75 inches, which is insane. And then he's sitting down with Sierra Thomas, who's also 33 from Auburn, California, and she lost 9.4 pounds and almost 7.5 inches. So super excited to hear what they have to say about their experience with the shred. How did it go, Derek?
It got me so fired up. I was really hoping for them to drop some nuggets here and there as far as information goes about really following through on the shred, because there are so many obstacles that we all face, so many reasons not to start, so many things that come up that you don't expect. And Sierra, for instance, you know, she had COVID, went to a bachelorette party. She works four 12-hour shifts a week. You know, Wesley Sturgill is literally in Virginia in winter right now and can't ride outdoors. Like, there are these obstacles that are very realistic and they're not that crazy and they happen to a lot of people. So the way they navigated through them and the truth bombs you're going to hear on this episode about follow through is incredible. I mean, early morning talking like 3:30 a.m. workouts, it is super inspiring. But I think the even cooler thing for me was realizing how rad these people are. And I've said it before on the podcast, but I wish I could get to know every member at this depth and really get to talk to everyone this way. And unfortunately, it's not really the way the business is going to go. But every time I have a real conversation with a Dialed fam member like this, it reminds me of how rad our community is. They're all people you really would want to actually hang out with and be around in real life. You know, it's like surrounding yourself with the people you want to represent and grow and aspire to be. That is them. And I'm not just saying that to try and hype them up. I think you guys are going to understand it after listening to these conversations. And it's especially cool because both Sierra and Wes are so different. And you'll tell that in just the conversations alone. So throughout the conversation, I had these moments like on Step Brothers where they look at each other and it's like, did we just become best friends? Yep. And that's how it feels a lot of times when I connect with Dialed fan members. So it was just another reminder for me. And I'm just so pumped on this community. I think they're perfect examples of what it means to start moving forward. And they really embody what it means to be a part of the Dialed fam. So proud to do these interviews. I think you guys are going to learn a lot from them. And if anything, you're going to get a couple good laughs and just really be able to relate it to your own life. And hopefully it'll help you break whatever barrier is currently holding you back.
Hearing about how you had those Step Brothers moments is going to make me so nostalgic when I get to go listen back. And I'm so bummed that I couldn't make it to these interviews. Just a little chaotic with the scheduling and, you know, multiple interviews. And you guys have no idea the challenges we normally have trying to schedule in the first place. But I am super excited to hear, because I remember having like these same conversations with you before I even started working with you. It was like the same thing of like just having that understanding, you know?
Oh, it is really going to hit home with you, because we have had conversations just like this in the past. And it's a lot of the types of conversation I had with clients in person, or if I just bumped into somebody I hadn't seen in a while. In fact, Sierra's interview is a spot on representation of probably how I would talk to a Dialed fan member in real life, because we would talk about some random stuff like we do in the beginning of Sierra's with some energy talk. And then we go into training, we go into lifestyle and then goals, aspirations, all these things. I mean, that's to me really a normal conversation. So I think it was really refreshing. And I think you're going to get a kick out of it, because we had these conversations, you know, not too long ago ourselves.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear the whole podcast start to finish. So without further ado, let's get into it.
All right, so you know we're here to talk about your real process through the Dialed Health Shred, the whole journey, but I can't help but ask you about these flags behind you that look like you pulled straight off of Mount Everest or something. You have some lanterns. Where are you right now?
I'm in my room. So I live with my fiance and three stepkids, and anyway, it's like the only quiet corner, but these flags, super cool story. So we moved here almost like 3.5 years ago. And when we moved, we were working on the house. We went out to dinner, and then we were walking downtown Auburn, and there's this like room, this like art gallery or whatever, but there are this commotion inside, but something like drew me inside of this building. And there are these Tibetan monks that come through annually, it turns out. And as soon as I walked through the building and into the door, I just like started crying. Like there was so much like good positive energy. And it was crazy that I was even pulled in there, because I'm like wearing these like grungy clothes covered in paint and dirt and dust from working on the house that we just got. And I walk in and I'm just like, just tears start coming down my eyes. And I look at my fiance and the same thing's happening. I'm like, what is happening? It was like this super rad experience. And so we got some there from that place. And now they've been up in our room since.
That is so cool. Do you feel like adding them into your house has brought any of that energy? Because, you know, it's interesting. I want to dive more into this idea of just energy in general. Obviously, I'm pretty open about my Christian faith and everything, but the idea that there's real energy in the world that you can just feel and that just punches you in the face like that or draws you in, man, it seems absolutely real. But again, I really want to like dive into that more. I have no knowledge or understanding to even really talk about it, but that's where my thought is. So do you feel that, like bringing it home a little bit?
Oh, totally. And I don't, like, I used to practice like Christianity, and I don't really have a like structured belief system right now, but I work as a nurse and I pick up on people's energy, and I've been pretty much like an empath my whole life too. And just like, I for sure like feel that like the energy I put out too is like something I get back. And like, for example, like the energy that drew me to that room, I've never really experienced something like that other than I went to Burning Man once, but like that kind of like intense energy. Well, like it sounds crazier than it is. I am more of like I'm less of a partier, more of a feeler, and like anyway. Now I feel like I'm incriminating myself.
No, it's just so funny because I know that there's probably that side to Burning Man. I've never gone. My brother-in-law tells me to go every year, but I'm sorry. It's just lumped in with the craziness. You can't deny that it's just lumped in with the craziness, you know?
There is. And I went to nursing school. I was in nursing school the one time I went. And so I couldn't go the whole week. I had to finish clinicals at like 11:30 at night, drove to Sacramento, packed stuff, finished a homework assignment and left at like 5 a.m. And it was like something crazy. So I didn't get there till like the end of the whole ceremony. And we just saw the temple, which is like the coolest part with the energy I felt when I was there.
Interesting.
But yeah, totally. Like I've been listening to like a bunch of podcasts about energy and like putting like what you put out into the world is kind of what you get back. And just like, even if you don't sincerely believe it, like if you put out that good, you get it back. And I think that goes for everything. Like, I mean, the same
thing goes
with
what you
like,
did. Oh, I'm sorry to even cut you off there. I mean, your job is it's an incredible example of it, of having just that real-time impact, and you can just see the results almost instantly, I'm sure, at times. But also, even with what you accomplished with the Dialed Health Shred, because I'm sure that you dedicating yourself this way and putting yourself out there like that has brought people to you that are fueled and fired up by it. And I mean, I get that quite a bit too, where it makes it feel so worth it. And I say, when people tell me about their results, that it's my fuel, but it really is, because it hits you and it's that feeling of, oh my gosh, like I want more of this for more people. And it's a very fulfilling thing. So obviously you had these huge results with the shred, and you're really conscious of your energy, your impact. You already have this busy lifestyle, even when you're trying to fit in Burning Man, apparently. But let's set the stage here. Tell people what your normal day-to-day life is, and then let's talk about what your goals were kind of going in to the shred. Like, what did you expect to do? So tell them about your normal kind of like job, work hours, plus home life responsibilities, because it's definitely a reason to not start for most people. So let's hear about it.
Sometimes I'm like, how is this sustainable? So I work full-time as a nurse, and I also have a per diem job as a nurse. So I work 12-hour shifts, typically 4 12-hour shifts a day, and both are about 45 minutes away. So my days typically are about 14 hours, just getting to work, and coming back to work, coming home. And so then...
4 12-hour shifts a week.
4 12. So that's okay, like cool. The whole day, like not home. Basically. So, and I usually try to work them all in a row, which is kind of difficult too, but I would start the day before I would work. I would spend like 4 hours at least like meal prepping, because I'd have to otherwise I wouldn't have time to eat. And like, even are we get 3:15s and a 30-minute break. And so, but 30 minutes to go to the cafeteria and back, you lose 15 minutes. So then you're like, you're back down to another 15-minute break if I chose to eat. But it didn't work out too with like, if I'm trying to like count my macros and stuff, it wasn't going to work out. So I would meal prep. And usually I would do my longest ride on one of the days off and one of my workout days, because the gym I go to doesn't open early enough for me to go before work typically. So, and then on my work days, I would wake up at like 3:30, 4 in the morning to get, if it's like an hour ride on Trainer Road, I'd probably wake up at like 4 in the morning. If it's like an hour and a half ride, I have to wake up at like 3:30, 3 in the morning, work out.
Oh, and then that is
ride,
so
shower.
Savage. Yeah. You know, you had posted like a timestamp from your workout to Instagram. You tagged me in it and I reposted it, and I think I wrote something along the lines of, this should make you feel a little bit better about your 5 a.m. start. And 5 a.m. starts are hard. I mean, I used to work every morning at 5 a.m. I've done plenty of 5 a.m. workouts, mm-hmm. but especially if the workout is higher intensity, you know, sweet spot or above, to get on that early, I mean, that is savage. And then through the winter, it's cold, whatever. I mean, 3:30 is another level. That's all I got to point out. And I really hope people don't forget that you woke up at 3:30 not to miss your workouts.
And if I did miss, but sometimes I would, like, just work is tough. Like, I'm on my feet all day and I'm running usually, and it's like high intensity just at work. And because I work in a PICU, I don't work in a clinic. Not to say that clinics aren't stressful or busy either, but I work in a pediatric ICU. And so when I come home from work, I'm beat, and then I still have to be present with my family and give them mm-hmm. what little time left I have in the day, which is like an hour before they go to bed. So I get home at like 8:30 at night.
Like, if you miss, basically you have to get it done later in the night. Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be able to sleep. I don't know about you, but like late night workouts are rough. Like, I can't, like, it gets me all pumped and I want to like keep going. And I'm like, I don't know. It gets me all fired up. And then I'm like, no, I'm too tired. I can't. I'll lay there and then just think. And then I can't fall asleep. So it's really hard for me to do night workouts. But the morning ones
I'm with
are
you
usually
on that.
Good, though.
Yeah, I've done some afternoon. Actually, this Sunday, I did like it was kind of a burly ride to do on a Sunday night. It was around 6 p.m. I did like a 2-hour sweet spot ride on Trainer Road. And you end up, you know, you end up eating dinner a little later than normal. And then, you know, you shower, hopefully. And then maybe you're stretching a little bit. And all of a sudden, it's 8 o'clock. And you haven't done any of your normal, quote unquote, wind down or whatever it is. So it just like pushes the whole night back. And I notice when I do a late night workout, especially a strength one, no matter how much I stretch, I will wake up the next morning way more sore than if I had done my workout in the morning or afternoon that day. Or it's easy, like morning or around lunchtime. So I don't know how everyone feels doing that. I've never really talked to someone about it, but it is something I've noticed. Like, the later I work out, the more stiff or sore I feel the next morning immediately waking up.
It's probably because you don't get the chance to burn off all that lactic acid buildup, or just like, you know, like you work out in the morning and the afternoon, you still have the rest of the day to chase auto or whatever. You're moving around. So you're kind of working that out of your system, you know, versus like,
yeah,
you do it at night and you're slowing down. So it just kind of builds up, maybe. I don't know. It's my.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do so much mobility throughout the day. And I was going to ask you, even elevating your legs, I feel like when you're a cyclist and you're doing a lot of time pedaling or spending a lot of time pedaling, to be on your feet at work like that, your legs could probably start feeling so heavy. So did you try any leg elevation at work on your breaks? Was there a recovery thing like that to keep you going? Is there time to do anything like that, or?
Not really. Like, I typically have like 5 meals a day ish. And like, based on like my macro, it was just easier. It would keep me fullest longer and like made me more like a well-oiled machine. And so when I'd have a 15-minute break, and it was just long enough for me to like shovel food in my mouth, and then it would be time to go back. But on the way, I started bringing, I don't have a Theragun. I have like a Costco off-brand, whatever, but same concept. And I would just use that on the way to work sometimes and on the way home. And then when I get home, I would try to like have conversations while I'm rolling my legs out or having them up at least. Like, but at work, it's almost impossible. And I can't time my breaks. I can't plan anything normal at work. It's just like, whenever I get a break, that's when I get it. Like, roll with it. If I'm not hungry, too bad. I eat anyways, because then I won't know when I get my next break.
Wow. That's crazy. So essentially, you're at this point where to hit your workouts, at most days of the week, you're doing it very odd hours, very early in the morning, later in the afternoon, and you have to do meal prep. Did you say you spent 4 hours at a time on meal prep to get those things in?
Sometimes, yeah, because I would get like, have to make like five or so meals a day, at least like four, I guess. And then I started getting like protein shakes and stuff to like make it easier. But then it's like, it gets boring, especially like every meal or day after day. And so, yeah, I would spend like, I'll usually do a lot of chicken breasts and ground turkey because it's easiest to do. Like, or yeah, I'll like brine chicken while I'm on the trainer and then throw it in the air fryer. But then just like potatoes and stuff. Like I'm trying to time it down so it's like 2 to 3 hours. But if I get so many interruptions to do anything, it's usually everything's like a process. Like I was trying to do a ride today. I was just supposed to do an hour and a half ride and I can only get like 45 minutes in because someone came over and there's like a family situation. And then, you know, like I had to get the kid from the bus stop. I'm like, So yeah, I'm just trying to roll with it. I'm not a professional, but I want to, you know, like obviously get better and keep moving my progress. And so I try to stay on top of it as best as I can. But
It's so funny you say it like that, because before, the reason I was late to start the podcast, which I'm putting myself on blast to everybody listening, I was 10 minutes late to get this going. And I was posting to Instagram, actually reposting your prize from the Dialed Health Shred, but also talking about how I had to change my workout schedule this week because my day yesterday was just like what you were talking about today. Essentially, I had Specialized US Enduro team come to the studio. So rad. We had an awesome training session. My son had his first dentist appointment, which is right next door, that basically they came to the studio. I had a Dialed Fem member come by. We talked. Shout out to you, Sean Hunt, the man. He rolled up in his Dialed Health kit. Total side note, but that was awesome. And so anyways, I just started having the same thing where it's like, okay, now time's getting a little bit more crunched. And then I finally got to the point at 4 p.m. where I was like, I brought my bike. I have my kit. I'm going to go ride. I have the trails right behind my studio. So I fully prep my bike, bottles on, air pressure, everything. I have everything on and I'm putting my jersey on, last piece of the kit. And I get a notification on my phone and it reminded me that I had a haircut in 30 minutes, which is completely across town. And I at that point, I was like, you know what? As someone who used to have people burn them on sessions and I can't do that to my barber, I was like, I'm not paying double because of course I would pay if I missed. So I was like, this ride's over. I literally unkitted, put my bike in the truck. And I had that moment where I was like, man, you know, like poor me. I have done everything for everybody but myself, yada, yada, yada. And I had that and I had to check myself and be like, oh my gosh, my day was awesome. And now I just have to change my plan. So I ended up doing a strength workout last night instead of my ride. And I did my ride today and kind of swapped them. So did you do any of that? Like, did you have days throughout the month where essentially you plan on doing a ride and you ended up doing a strength workout instead? Or was there a lot of flip flopping and you kind of looked at the whole week total for, you know, what sessions to get in?
I did get a planner that was more like broke down the days by the hour, which helped a lot. It seems a little intense, which like it was beyond me, but it super helped because like I said, like I have 3 stepchildren, I have a full-time job, a per diem job, and I work out too. And I still have to try to like, you know, keep up the house. I have dogs, chickens. I don't know. I have a lot. But so probably the most time I did the most flip-flopping was when I ended up going to that bachelorette party and then I got COVID. And so I couldn't go anywhere. Luckily I had my trainer, and my fiance Chanel is like probably the biggest supporter I know. She brought my trainer up in our room so I could quarantine up here and ride if I needed to, if I felt up to it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I did the first, like it was, yeah. And when I was in Mexico, I was where the bachelorette party was. I didn't have a trainer or a bike. And so I went running. I went running the first 3 days and then I started feeling sick, like sort of. And so I took a test and I didn't want to get anyone sick and then it was negative. So then I walked and did weight training stuff there too. So I didn't miss there. And then the only day that I couldn't do anything was traveling back because I had to wear like an N95 and I couldn't do anything. Like I was just trying to get back without being stuck there. So that was probably the trickiest thing. But once I got home, I was doing workouts and I did some shoulder rehab stuff, which was super helpful, and just anything I could in my room. And then after the 5 days, I wore an N95 and went to the gym. I don't know if I should say that or not. I do know that the N95 was fit tested and I wasn't trying to get anyone sick, but the doctor said it was okay. The CDC too says it's okay to go, but I couldn't take it anymore. I get cabin fever really bad. And
I don't blame
the N95
you.
On and I was like, I'm not going to get anyone sick, but I can't do it. I'm going to start so bad.
So first off, I totally applaud you on continuing to train through sickness. And I don't want to glorify it. I really want to be clear about that for people, because I have trained when I got COVID the first time, like 2020, I think December it was or something. I remember doing a trainer ride when I didn't feel good and I didn't know I had COVID at the time. And I remember just something telling me, stop right now. Like I've never had something that obvious of like my body saying, you need to stop. And, you know, I usually fight through that feeling, but it was so clear that I had to stop. And I took like 3 days off at that point. But other times, you know, COVID round two, Omicron, whatever you want to call it, you know, it really was light head cold type symptoms. And I was able to kind of move through it. And it's literally just you listening to your body and making that decision for yourself. It doesn't mean that you do the gnarly intervals or you do the gnarly workout from the kettlebell program. It means you maybe you turn on the guided shoulder prehab routine, kind of like you hinted at, and you do the mobility work and you spend some extra time with a lacrosse ball. And that essentially is you, it's you not missing. Yes, you do some strength work. Yes, it is very low intensity, but you're still ingraining the habit deep in your brain to show up and get done what you can, which is how you need to operate no matter how you feel, whether it's the best feeling day or the worst feeling day. So I really applaud you for keeping it moving that way. But I got to hear more about the bachelorette party, because I mean, bachelorette party. Like, how do you keep your nutrition on point through a bachelorette party? That seems like actually I can't think of a worse or a harder scenario, really. Maybe you go on like a cruise ship, but even then you probably have a ton of vegetable. I mean, how did you do that?
Oh, man. So one of my best friends who I roomed with, I was like, dude, you're going to have to let me be a princess. Like, I'm going to be on the DL about some stuff, but like, you gotta just like, don't make me feel bad, please. And she's like, all right. It wasn't her bachelorette party, but so it was at an all you can eat, all you can drink resort, which didn't help anything at all. And I did bring some, I actually had some BPN supplements before, but I had brought some protein powder, some carb powder, stuff, so some snacks and stuff. And then it was like literally impossible to measure anything the way the buffet and stuff was set up. And so mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm not going to stress out about this because this is like impossible. Like, I can just do like the best options and just like eyeball it to the best of my ability. So like, I would get an egg white only omelet with just veggies. And I was like, can you put an extra egg white in there? Like, you know, because I know like how many egg whites I need for protein. And then so like the drinking part was probably the most challenging, because other people were like bringing rounds or whatever. And sometimes occasionally I'd like toss it in the bush, or or I would go get the shots, because I didn't like, if I went and got them, I can get a water shot. If I was like, oh, I'd get everyone vodka shots, and I would get myself a water shot, or I would get like a soda water with lime, and they thought I was drinking.
Genius.
I would take
genius. But, yes.
Some of the time I was drinking. So like if I did, I was like the obligatory shots. So like everyone, like if the bride to be brought a shot, I'm like, all right, doing it. But like I didn't miss. Yeah. So like I ran, and my friend and I woke up early. Shout out to her for being a trooper with me. We weren't running. Yeah. And then we'd go to the gym. And so like I'd at least like make sure that I would burn those calories before. And then one of the days we went snorkeling, so that helped. And then just like was really mindful about the things that I was eating, and then didn't try to go overboard. And I knew like bringing the protein powder helped. Although I did thought I was going to get some like slack from airport security bringing this like bag of white powder through, but
that's happened to me before. Actually, I brought a tub of protein in the normal kind of tub. I just had a huge this big OGO rolling pack I used to have, and I just threw it in there, and my baggage got taken away from me, but I didn't get it back out after the flight. And when I eventually got it back hours later, that protein was gone. So yeah, that's the last time I've traveled with protein because of that. That's so interesting. So you didn't have any issues.
I did look it up, and there was like a certain amount you could take. So I measured like just under. I didn't want there to be any question about it. So I measured like under the amount they said I could have, so that they wouldn't try and take my stuff. But yeah, it was. Yeah, that was, and then, so then I got sick while I was there, and that was the whole, like a whole other issue. Like I thought I was going to get stuck there, and I was like, how am I going to finish? Yeah. I was like, how am I going to finish the Dallas shred? And also like, I'm supposed to go to work and I don't have any healthcare here. Like, what do I do?
Oh,
it
wow.
It was gnarly. Yeah.
I never thought about that. If you're in a different country, you don't have healthcare in that country, I guess. There's no, thing that crosses over. Oh gosh, that's freaky.
I was like, what if I get worse? Like, if this is the worst of my symptoms, no big deal. But like, if I really got sick, I don't know. Like, I mean, I had already had the booster by that point too, by the time I got it. But I was like, come on. And that was the whole thing I was trying to prevent before. I was like super careful, you know, like vitamins, everything. And I still got it. I'm like, dang.
Man.
There's no escaping. But
it seems like it always happens like that. It's like riding. When you're trying to ride and trying to be careful is when you make mistakes and you don't let muscle memory do it. I swear the sickness thing is like that. But, you know, travel and everything. But I got to say that what you said as far as your strategy goes around drinking and approaching the buffet, I got to point out a couple of things. So first off, soda water with lime is always a winner. That is just the most incognito, sober move ever. And again, in the water shot, it's genius. The point is that you're not trying to lie about drinking. The point is you're trying to keep the fun and the energy up. You know, you're the one there not doing the norm. Like, and I hate to tell you guys, like, we're the weird ones who care this much about our health and performance and stuff. You know, you have specific goals that other people don't. So to take it on yourself to make those sacrifices and to do it in a way where you're not complaining and you're not dragging people down. I mean, that's the worst. I'm telling you guys, if you're going to do something like a shred or you're going to eat a certain way, just don't complain about it to the people you're around that are doing that thing. Like, horrible. So, I mean, the biggest turnoff ever. So I applaud you for that also. But even looking at the buffet and just really not getting freaked out and just thinking logically, okay, I do see vegetables over there. You know what? I can get an egg white omelet. You know what? I can't ask for more egg whites. And they're going to look at me crazy because I have 8 egg whites in this thing, but that's what I want. And so it does take some speaking up and it does take some courage in that sense. But I think it's really cool how you approached it. And a lot of people could take that with them into the next party, into the next restaurant, business, meeting, whatever it may be. And one thing I've mentioned too in the past is that if you do have that meal at a certain restaurant, look at the menu beforehand. You know, make your decision about what you're going to order and eat beforehand so that it's easier and you're not on the spot and you don't do some last minute, oh, I guess I'll just have this. And now all of a sudden you blew out your meal when you could have prevented it. So a couple awesome tips. I love that you got up and ran and stayed on those workouts. And I mean, I don't know how someone could have an excuse after listening to the month that you went through. So it's incredible. And, you know, in hindsight, looking back at the month, what would you say the biggest thing you've kind of learned from the whole process is?
Oh, man, I've learned so much. The biggest thing, I think, is that if you really want something, there really isn't any excuse. And I realize that, like, there's a lot of things in life that come up, and a lot of big things, a lot of little things. And I've had a lot of challenges in addition to the big ones that I talked about. And really, if you want something, there is no excuse. And I've had people say, well, I just can't, or I don't have enough time, or, you know, they've asked me, and I'm just honest. Like, I can tell you exactly what I did, and I can help you achieve the same goals. And it's not rocket science. It's like a simple formula. The hardest part is the commitment part. And most people don't want to compromise things that make them feel good or things that they've done or they're used to doing, because it is uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar, and it is hard to tell people or to like eat like, you know, Brussels sprouts in a lunchroom and eat stuff that like people aren't used to eating. But it was important to me to keep that commitment. And it was in the commitment to my friend that I told her I was going to go a year ago. And so when I forgot, because I hadn't written everything in my planner, it's like, I mean, it's important for me to follow through. And really, like, it taught me that I can really do anything. There isn't anything that I can't do. And that's something that, like, I try to carry with me. I didn't think I was going to win at first, because I'm like, there's no way after those two things. I'm like, there's no way. Mm. But I didn't want to quit because I'd already committed. It's like, what's the point? Like, why commit to something for me if I'm just going to throw in the towel? And that's not to say that applies to everything, but it's like, I really try to make that part of who I am. If I say I'm going to do something, and if I say I'm going to be there, I really try my best to follow through with that, because that's, you know, I want people to know that I'm reliable. You know, it goes for my employers, it goes for my friends and my family. Like, there's never a doubt in their mind that, like, if she says she's going to do it, she's going to do it. So if it's going to be Everest, or if it's going to be racing this California Enduro Series, if it's going to be whatever it is, like, I usually follow through with it, because that's it. Like, I don't know. I try to be accountable, I guess.
Oh, it's so cool when your word really means something and the people around you know that. And even when it's the small things and you say something, then and they look at you and they take you seriously, like, okay, maybe that sounds crazy, but she's probably going to do this. That's a really cool, really cool place to be. And it's funny because I even have conversations with Lish all the time. And, you know, she hears, I'm sure everyone knows your significant other, your spouse, they see the worst in you. Like they see the worst side in you all the time. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, she literally sees all, if I have ever not followed through on something, it's just because I'm having these outward thoughts where even I'll have that moment where I'm like, I'm shredding for the next 6 months. I'm not eating dessert for a year. Like I've said stuff like this to her and she just looks at me and she just waits. And it's like, she's trying to decide how serious I am. But I think with the exception of her, everyone else takes me a lot more seriously. but no, it's
filter,
cool.
Right? Like,
she,
like
oh,
by the time
so
it
true.
Gets to everyone else, like you're like, that's for sure it. But like she hears the unedited version, you're like, all right, you're working out the kinks. And she's like, all right, I'll see you.
You know what? That's a great way to look at it. She's the filter. Yeah, that's true. It's like I'm bouncing it off her to just walk me through the process, help decide. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Well, yeah, I really just again want to congratulate you on doing it. I want to thank you for being a part of it. I mean, I wish you could have seen the look on my face when I opened up your before and after pictures because I was literally jaw dropped, so stoked. You and Wesley both, I mean, literally there was a handful of people like that, but we had 52 submissions that were all incredible. And, you know, we tried to, it was so hard to pick. Gosh, it was so hard to pick. We're going to talk about this more when I get with Amber on the rest of this episode, but it's just, I just want to point you out as just an awesome member of our community, because not only are you following through on the diet side, you're putting it in practice in a way that represents it well for other people watching you. You're out on the bike. You just held a group ride, I know, and on our local trails, and you're also making a huge impact at hospitals and at your home. So I think it's rad. You're a great example for the Dialed fam. And just thanks again for being a part of it, dude. It really means a lot.
Thanks for hosting it. I wanted to do it last year and I just missed. I signed up right after you started, but it was really cool to see the submissions. And through that process, I think since 2019, I've lost like 30 pounds and like 10% body fat total. Like I was like 30.
Wow.
30%. Yeah. And so just like, it's been an awesome ride. Everyone in the community has been amazing. And it's been super incredible to work with people like you and then getting to meet the owner of Crooked Lane and be able to, you know, they offered to sponsor me to pay for my races this year. And so
that's incredible. That's a local brewery for everybody listening. Yeah.
Yeah. They're out in Auburn. They're great beers, great service. I mean, it's just a rad community and everyone's into it. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't help like that energy flow, man. Back to that energy flow.
Dude. Oh yeah. Way to call that back from the beginning of the episode. That was a perfect wrap up. It's so true.
Yeah. Just want to keep putting it out there and get people more involved. Like, and my best friend too, she didn't ever ride. It would be a funny story later, but she went and got a new bike and she's going to race this year. So, I mean, it's just like really cool to see growth and people getting involved. But yeah, it's rad. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me out. Thanks for hosting the shred and for letting me be a part of it. And yeah, it's been an amazing journey.
All right, Wes, you already hit me with tip number one out of the gate. Tell me about what you did to make sure you got your water in, because I asked if you wanted to get a sip before we started and you said, nope, I already got my 32 ounce mason jar right here. So how do you start every day? How are you getting that gallon of water in?
So I would fill it up the night before and that way it would be room temperature. And first thing in the morning, would just turn that up and try to get 32 ounces down within the first 5 minutes or so of the day. And when you knock 32 ounces out, then, you know, you've only got three more quart jars to go. It's pretty easy to knock a gallon out.
Are you really taking that down within 5 minutes, you think?
Probably. So I've been drinking a gallon of water for probably 4 or 5 years now. So that really wasn't a big thing. And that's just something that's been a habit for a while in my life.
Oh, that's cool. So then did you have the habit of starting your day with it, even when you were drinking that much water?
Yeah, just when you wake up first thing in the morning, you're so dehydrated, just starting that off and just getting the body, just starting it back up.
Yeah, doesn't it blow you away to think about someone who drinks coffee as their first liquid in the morning, like without putting that water in your system? Because I know it's not crazy, and that's probably the majority of people, but after drinking water every morning, you wake up and crave it. At least I do. Everyone who has implemented this habit, they can't imagine not having at least 12 ounces before they go for some coffee or a flavored beverage or something. I mean, has that been your experience too?
So I don't drink coffee. I don't feel like I'm old enough yet to drink coffee, but it's just something that I'd read one time. Could you imagine going through an 8-hour work day without drinking any water? So when you go to sleep and you sleep somewhere around 8 hours, you've went 8 hours with no liquid going into your body. So it was just the first thing that I tried. And yeah, you're just craving it when first thing when you wake up.
Whoa, that's an awesome point. I've never thought of it that way. And that's not something I'm going to forget. But I have to question your decision on this coffee thing. Listen, I don't want to just put any potential bad habit on you. But when you start drinking coffee, I have a feeling, just for the pure taste, the aroma, the nostalgia, whatever. Maybe there's no nostalgia if you haven't been drinking coffee your whole life. But just the vibe of coffee is not it, that you're going for that, opposed to just the flavor and the caffeine. You know what I mean?
Right. And my wife fusses at me a lot. And I wish that you would drink coffee just so that we could wake up in the morning and both of us have a cup of coffee together. And I know so many people that cannot start their day without coffee. And I don't want to be somebody that is tied to a beverage to be able to function throughout the day.
You know, I can definitely respect that. I absolutely do. I have thought in my head too, and people make this argument about carbohydrates when it comes to exercise. They say, well, if you're so dependent on carbs, what happens when you don't have them? But I hate to say it, I'm just never in a situation where I don't have them. Like, I think the amount of mornings I've not had coffee in the last, I don't know, 15 years, I could probably count it on two hands. I think that's an honest evaluation of it. So that's my thought process. But then again, at the same time, I think it's purely like badass that you think that way, that you're like, I'm not going to rely on anything to get me to the energy and the motivation I need. And that probably is another reason you're so successful, is like carrying that mindset into the Dialed Health Shred, because you absolutely crushed it. And I really want to know, going into the Shred, what were your goals? Because, you know, with the Shred being laid out for you, you have some examples of before and afters. I've talked a lot about my own journey. Did you start it expecting to have the results that you did? Did you think about that at all? What were your goals going into it?
My goals were somewhere around 15 pounds. I'd went and done the Austin Rattler in November to try to qualify for Leadville. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. So after that race, I was like, I just need a break mentally. So I was riding a little bit, eating a little worse. Well, from the 1st of November, and it was supposed to be 2 or 3 weeks, turned into Thanksgiving, turned into Christmas, turned into New Year's. And before I knew it, I had just got out of control. I mean, it was dessert after every meal. And so I knew there was a little bit of easy weight to lose there, but there's also, I've always struggled with weight. I typically want to sit somewhere around 200, if not a little above that. So I've always, locally racing with my friends around here, my weight has always been my limiter, not getting any younger. So if not now, when? So just went ahead and decided a month really isn't that long. Give yourself a good month and just see what can happen. And I mean, the results were way better than I expected. The number on the scale was one thing, but just looking at the before and after pictures, looking at the before picture, I'm like, who is that guy and how did he get to that shape?
Mm-hmm.
And then after, that was really probably some of the better shape I've been in my life. I had done CrossFit for a couple of years and was in pretty good shape after that, but was not in as good a shape pedaling the bot.
Interesting. So performance wise, even with all that weight loss in such a short amount of time, you felt strong on the bike?
Yeah. Yeah. Trainer Road, and where I'm at geographically, we just have really bad winter. Well, not bad winters compared to the northern part of the US, but with short daylight and working hours, I wasn't able to get out during the week. And then every weekend was, you know, in the 20s and snowing or raining. So it was all on the trainer and all the adaptive training workouts. Nothing really felt hard. So it was amazing to be able to cut that weight and keep the strength on the bike.
Yeah, it really is a wild feeling. And I think it comes down to really your nutrition timing with the carbs. And I hate to even say carb cycling because we're eating carbs constantly, but to make sure that as soon as you start your workout, you're probably taking in carbohydrates right away. I mean, I haven't even talked to you about this strategy, and I'm kind of curious to what you did to make sure your rides were good while you're in a deficit. But I know that's how I've always approached it, where, you know, here's what I noticed, the difference of me being in a deficit versus not, is that I just reach for carbs a lot sooner than I do in a deficit than when I'm not. For instance, if I'm on the trainer and I have a 90-minute workout, I always start my rides now with a drink mix, but I used to not. And I used to wait till, you know, 30, 45 minutes to take in a fruit snack or, you know, a gummy bear, or a dried fruit or whatever snack I had. And when I was in a deficit, I remember for the first time doing these trainer road workouts, it'd be like 15 minutes in and I'm like, okay, I need to start fueling. And so using a liquid carbohydrate right off the bat, I do 2 scoops of the BPN G1M Sport. And I don't really have that problem anymore, but I remember looking back and be like, that's the only thing. As long as I fuel right away at the start of my workouts, I can get through these and I feel freaking great. There's no bloat. There's no weird digestive issues. My energy is actually generally a little bit higher throughout the day. And so what was your nutrition plan for the rides?
So I have never, until this year, very rarely would I ever take anything on the trainer. It just felt, and it's stupid, but it just felt weird to me to be taking any kind of ride food on the trainer. I'm not going anywhere. This year, I did scratch in my bottles and also had some honey stinger waffles that I just set on my desk. And like you said, I wouldn't be 10 minutes in sometimes and I'm already eating on the bike. But I always felt strong on the bike. And then it's kind of counterintuitive, but you don't let yourself get so far into a deficit that you're ravenous getting off the bike. When you finish your workout, you don't have that empty pit in your stomach. So then you don't go and eat like a garbage disposal for 30 minutes after you get off the bike.
Yeah, that's cool to know that. Was it the shred that encouraged you to add the carbohydrates? Or was that something that you implemented well before the shred started and you just continued that?
No, it was something that I didn't start until January of this year.
Oh, nice.
What I had done in the past hadn't worked. So no reason to keep trying the same thing. I figured worst case, you know, if you drink a bottle of mix and eat a waffle on a ride, you're taking in probably around 300 calories, maybe 400. So it's not really killing your day, even if it is a mistake, but it's worth trying for a little while just to see what it was worth.
Man, that is such an awesome outlook on it. And this is one of those times where I have to just thank you for trusting the process, because you have so many preconceived ideas of what's going to work. There's all these dogmatic views from the past that you've carried with you, consciously or subconsciously. I mean, it's hard to go against your own instincts sometimes, but I think what you said hit the nail on the head, because you said, okay, I mean, I haven't figured it out essentially up until this point. So why not try something that I haven't come up with? And like trusting someone else's sort of process in that sense. And it's not like I'm the one who's making all this stuff up, but I do encourage it so much because I see these results with people and I have conversations with people who also, they won't let themselves go. They won't let go of those own ideas that they have because they want to be right. Or it's hard. I don't blame anybody for just not blindly following something, but you know, once you have a credible source and you trust the whole mission behind it and you can try a lot of things, you get results like you do. And I see it over and over again. And it makes me more confident in actually what we're doing. But you also said something else about it seems counterintuitive to not get yourself into such a deficit. And I love that you mentioned that because it almost is. It's like, it doesn't almost feel right if you're not suffering the entire time. And I think your experience from what we've gone back and forth with so far was that it wasn't so bad because you weren't in such a deficit. You know, you were making sure your deficit wasn't really more than 500 calories. Am I correct on that? Did you go any deeper into it than that at any point during the month?
On some of the bigger, like 2-hour trainer days, you know, if I'm burning 1,200 to 1,400 calories on the bike, sometimes it would go up above 500 a little bit. But I mean, there was never really any major crash days where it was, you know, 1,200 or 1,400 calorie deficits. I mean, all of my deficits, I think, stayed under 1,000 calories.
Yeah.
Might get up around 800 on some of those bigger ride days.
Nice. So yeah, you could see, I mean, you have this excess of 1200 plus calories you're burning and you're still keeping your deficit within 1000 at the max. And that's only a couple of days per week. And then you're going back to closer to 500. So it's like when you really put this into perspective compared to other diets, it makes me really proud of what we're doing, dude, because the whole idea of food tracking isn't to be neurotic and to be a psycho. It's so that you can have the healthiest shred possible. And it's so that you can be clear on what you're doing and still fuel and perform your workouts. And that's literally our message. It's not about some crazy extreme weight loss for no reason. I mean, it has real purpose behind it. So it just makes me really proud to see people living it out. So I gotta, first off, thank you for that. And when we talked about your riding schedule, do you think the biggest hurdle of this whole month was maybe not being able to get outside and ride due to weather? Was there something with the nutrition itself? Was there like an event that you had to say no to, the piece of cake, or what was the biggest hurdle, you think?
My biggest hurdle was, I have a 2-year-old daughter and she brought home something and I caught a cold for about a week and it was pretty gnarly. So I had to kind of adjust my riding schedule to where I couldn't do my intensity interval days and just dialed that back to more endurance to try to help my body recover from the cold or whatever she brought in. And then but it was almost a blessing because, you know, once you do a really high intensity workout, it's hard to lose weight doing those because it spikes your appetite so much. So with those more endurance days, it really kind of, it was easier to stay in a deficit with those endurance days. But that was probably the biggest thing, was just trying to continue a schedule and get over that sickness.
First off, awesome move on just dialing it back a little bit intensity wise and keeping it moving, keeping on track. That's the perfect approach right there. And I love it because it's just so logical and it's real common sense. There's no part of you, I mean, I'm sure it's frustrating in the moment, but it's not like you just were like, oh, if I can't do exactly what I set out to do, I'm not doing it at all. You're just like, okay, wait a second, I can actually dial this back and still make the progress I intended to. And like you said, it was almost a blessing because you realized, wow, higher intensity workouts spike my appetite more and it's easier to control what I'm eating after an endurance day that maybe doesn't, but it burns the same amount of calories. So really interesting point. And I don't think I've ever really gone into that with people on the podcast. So that's a valuable piece of info right there. I love that. And so then biggest victory, let's talk about it. Obviously with the exception of finishing the 30 days, was there anything in particular that you kind of overcame? Was it the month as a whole? What do you look back on after that? And just what are you the most proud of?
As goofy as it sounds, not having sweet tea for a month. I have a problem.
That's how you know you're from the South.
Yeah, I could. It's something that I could have with every meal, every day, and be fine with. So the first couple of days felt a little rough just trying to get over that. But really, after a week, I didn't notice it. I would drink sparkling water or just water. And once that taste is kind of out of you and you don't, or for me, I didn't necessarily crave it towards the end of the shred as bad as I thought I would.
Doesn't Scratch have a sweet tea flavored mix? Did you experiment with that or just think about drinking sweet tea on the bike to, you know, make the timing right?
I have not. I've not heard of the Scratch and I don't need to know if they make that because It would be more of a problem. No, I'm somebody that, as bad as it is, I'm on or off. So if I am, if I would let myself have it on the bike, then I would get done with the bike and be like, well, I guess I can drink what's left for dinner, or a little bit more won't hurt. So I just have to mentally check into a place where I need to cut that off if it's a bad habit, just because once I let that dial start turning a little bit, it's over with.
Man, that it is such a slippery slope. It really is. I actually just talked about it on the podcast last week and it came out yesterday, so I won't hold it against you if you haven't heard it yet. But I have been going through that process with alcohol personally, because you know, it's something that like I love in a sense that it's like fun, it's relaxing. You know, I definitely drank out of stress with my twins being born this year. And for that reason and a couple others, it felt like, okay, this is one thing that is just putting the brakes on all of my forward momentum. Like it is directly goes against all of the goals I have set out for myself, whether it's being productive at 5 a.m., whether it's my body fat or eating late at night. It doesn't help any of it. And it really hurts it. So for myself, it's like, okay, is there a balance there? And I actually have been able to reel it in a lot. You know, most nights last week, I didn't have any. There's been some nights I've had like one small glass of wine, and it's like I'm trying to find it, but I really know what you mean, because it takes almost as much discipline, and I don't want to call it pain, quote unquote, but it takes as much discipline and intention to stop after one glass of wine or something than just to not have any at all. It's not very different. So it's just all interesting, man. I think the cool thing to note is that you can make the decision to stop. And if you don't, it's going to be a little bit fuzzy. So it's like, what's your, you know, it's like choose your hard kind of situation.
Right. And I mean, that's just personal experience. I've known when I've tried to quit, it's like, I'm going to let myself have one cup of sweet tea a week, or sweet tea at one meal a week. It's like, well, I let myself have it on Wednesday, but I rode really hard and it's Saturday. So I needed to treat myself and let myself have it. And then the next thing I know, it's like, well, I rode long Sunday too, and it's Monday. So I need to have it now just because it's Monday. And before you know it, 7 days a week again. So.
Oh man, I know everybody listening right now was just kicked right in the gut by that truth. I mean, that was that may have been the most true real life scenario I've ever heard, like on this podcast. That was incredible, man. You wrapped that up really nicely, and it's inspiring, dude. So before we roll, I want to ask two things. So let's start with the first one. Moving forward, have you hit your goal? What is your maintenance strategy? How do you plan on moving forward at this point?
I still feel that I've got more to lose. My ultimate goal is to get somewhere around 185 to 180. I would really like to hit 5 watts per kilo. And I mean, typically I'm around a 400 watt threshold, but when you're 200 pounds, that's not as impressive. So that's one big goal. And it's really just sticking with the process of don't do anything crazy. Try to keep the riding schedule, keep weight training schedule, and keep the food in line. And I think that I felt so much better with the food because I'm in a deficit, but it's all quality food. There's no junk, you know, outside of, you know, I guess the dopamine hit. What good is an Oreo really doing you, or a sleeve of Oreos?
Wow. You're really hitting me where it hurts. Man, it is just so true. It's like, what good? Oh man, it is so interesting. Besides the dopamine hit, gosh, I'm walking away inspired from this one, Wes. I love it, dude. So then, with that being said, you're going to keep on the path until you hit your weight goal. What would you say to anyone who is hesitant of getting started? Maybe there's someone who is just throwing out all those scenarios. Well, I have this vacation. Well, I have my kid's sick. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I'm riding really hard. I should be able to eat whatever. Like, you know, they're just dragging their feet. They're coming up with excuses. What would you tell someone to motivate them to get started?
There's always going to be a reason to not get started. No matter what, you can always find an excuse. You know, it's like, do I really need to lose weight right now? My goals aren't until August. So why am I going to suffer now when I could start in May and try to lose this weight? But, you know, I've got a birthday party coming up or something else. You know, a birthday party is just one day. That's one meal that you're going to have to, I mean, you can splurge on that one meal and it's not going to wreck your whole month. So why are you going to sacrifice a week of progress for one meal? You know, that's 20 other meals. You know, if you're eating 3 meals a day that are moving you towards your goal versus one meal that is going to set you back, so to say. But so my biggest thing would just be to get started. I rode really hard, but you cannot out-exercise a bad diet.
That is a wrap, Dialed fam. Thank you so much for listening.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please help us out by giving us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Just write anything positive about the podcast. You can also go to Google and leave a review there talking about the website, that you love it. Don't overthink it. Just make sure you drop us 5 stars and say something positive. The Google reviews really help too. And I also want to say, you guys have been doing this. And if I haven't gone in and replied to your rating, I want you to know that it is so appreciated. I mean, it's helping a ton. The fact that we have well over 100 reviews, even on Apple, is a really cool testimonial to you guys supporting the podcast. But it's great because it allows brands and hopefully future sponsors to see that we have an engaged audience. It's super important. Even more important than the most important thing is to get a membership at dialedhealth.com. Really want you guys to start using the workouts, start using the programs, and get results. Go have your best ride ever. In fact, we just updated our mission statement, which I'm very excited to announce. We're starting to make some homepage changes on the website before the app launches, because the app is coming, people. Prepare yourselves. I mean, I should be testing some beta calendar stuff this week. So I just can't wait. We are making moves and doing a lot on the back end to give you guys the best product possible. And it's really only possible because of the Dialed Fam's memberships. I mean, that's how we're paying for this. And we're just so grateful for you first 1,000 members. And we're so close to cracking over 1,000, but I really want to thank you guys. It is just exciting. And I want you to know that those memberships are going directly back into the product to make it better and better for you guys. So anyways, I hope you have an incredible week. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next Monday. Start moving forward.